Damn, Cody, everybody be liking what we're doing with this Bullhorn app.
Yeah, what's not to like, man? You get to text, you get to call in, you get to run your mouth with your favorites every episode.
Man, we love it. I love the interaction we get with our listeners. Guys, if you guys want to become a part of your favorite podcast, download the app, bullhorn.fm, your podcast app. Everybody be asking me like, damn, Luke, you beat Snyder and shoot off? And I'm like, yeah, I beat Aaron. But this time, I can't take all the credit because I've literally have teamed up with No Limits Archery right here out of Denver, Colorado. I believe Phil has put some of the best guys in his shop to work on your equipment. Guys like Jason and Bo, I think they're the best in the business if you ask me. Because when I drop off my bow, I feel like those guys are treating it like if it was their own. So, I mean, y'all seen what happened. I did beat Snyder. But that being said, guys, while you're there, check out their pro shop. It is top notch. They have everything you need from all your archery supplies, from hunting camo and boots. I mean, they got it all. And while you're there, let's shoot because it's one of the biggest facilities here in the area, indoor and outdoor. Guys, check them out on the IG at No Limits Archery and www.nolimitsarchery.com. Everybody's asking me what's this new knife I'm rocking. And I tell them it's the new Dakota folding knife from Tito Knives. Luke has literally designed one of the baddest pocket knives I ever own. Some of the features it has, it's a grade 5 titanium frame, deep carry pocket clip, so if it's perfect in your pocket, when you open that baby up, it's smooth because it has stainless steel ball bearings. I mean, it's the perfect length, the perfect weight, and it's super sexy, guys. Guys, check them out at TitoKnives.com, and make sure you type in our code GU15, save a little money, and remember, it's ultra light, it's ultra sharp, and now ultra fly. This podcast is brought to you by Kafaro International. It's gear for life.
Extreme hunting products, packs, frames, tents, shelters, sleeping systems, stoves, and more.
Did I mention it's American made?
Love it, America.
America. Hey, guys, check them out. It's kafaro.net. What up, what up, what up? And we back. This is the 102. And I got something to tell you guys. I don't know what the hell happened to my audio in the first, what, 2-3 minutes of this podcast. So I'm redoing this one. You kind of missed the introduction of who these guys were. So I'll kind of break it down to you guys real fast. These guys, I got nothing but mad respect for these two people. I was excited to get them on the podcast. Ryan Schultz, IFL champion, world champion, Ryan the Lion Schultz, I should say that. His buddy, my buddy, our buddy, Rustin Hughes, and he has a story to tell you. Man, without any more, I'm just going to just let you guys tune in and enjoy.
I was in like July of 2012, and yeah, I had some things go on in between then, but yeah, it's I moved out here actually at the beginning of 1998, right after I got out of the Army.
Okay.
And then I moved to Kearney for a while.
Right.
And then moved back after that Kearney stint. But yeah, I think since about 98, I've been out here. It's just been crazy, like, how quickly time flies.
Oh, it's nuts, right? And then it's crazy on, like, how big, like, we were just saying how big the towns have grown, Colorado.
Oh, I mean,
I remember going, you know, to Fort Collins, and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
And now there's fucking houses being built everywhere, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, I guess, tell me a little bit what goes on at trials, because I know you deal with, obviously, fighters, because I remember going down there with Gaethje.
Yeah.
And it's awesome facility. You guys got a great place. Mm-hmm. But I know there's more into your gym than what just fighting.
Yeah. I mean, trials martial arts is for everybody, really. You know what I mean? We have four-year-olds there, and we have people in their 80s. You know, we run a program called Rocksteady Boxing, which is we're an affiliate of theirs, you know, but I think every Rocksteady Boxing has their own little niche of things, and we kind of, they don't tell you how to run your stuff, and that's for people with Parkinson's disease, and then, you know, and I'll let Rustin kind of talk about what he does through the gym with the B-Bold and how we kind of moved into kind of working those together a little bit on and off, so things are good there, and we have, like, our little kids program, our champs and little champs program, we start them at 4, and it's just more about, like, it's just a family gym more than anything. You know, we have fitness classes, and then we have your elite fighters. You know what I mean? Really? We have a fight team and all that. And so, you know, I think we've put people out there into the bigger shows. We got a guy in Bellator right now, you know, Justin Gonzalez, and then we put people in UFC too, stuff.
Yep.
That maybe they're not with us now, but they were when we put them there.
Yep.
Stuff like that. And so I know we have potential at our gym to do whatever it is you want to do, but overall, the actual fight part of it is a smaller part, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? It's the everyday people coming in there and the everyday student that keeps that place running.
Yeah.
And the camaraderie, especially through all the tough times in the last 2 years or so with the COVID and all that going on, you know, just people helping people, man, and networking through there and taking care of our own. And that's kind of how I want it. You know, if you're, you're a member at Trials and you're having a hard time, you need to speak up. Because we'll help you. We'll network through and help you go through some tough times, because that's what being part of a family is about, and a team is really being about. You know what I mean? It's not all wins and losses and competition, as you know.
Yep.
So that's kind of how I feel about our place, man.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit, like, tell the listeners, like, I know what happened, but you weren't always having a prosthetic leg, right? What happened? Like, what was the whole outcoming of that happening?
So I was an amateur MMA fighter.
Yep.
Always had trained, and what was going on is I had something, I thought it was a pinched nerve or something in my right leg, and it progressively just got worse and worse, and I was in culinary school at the time, and I had just graduated, actually, and we went to Red Rocks for a concert, and I could not physically make it up to where our seats were at. I was just
no shit,
and it felt like someone had like poured concrete in my leg. It was really weird, and I used to be able to, like, pinch or push on some part of my side of my leg, and it would gradually get better, but this particular time nothing was getting better, and my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time,
right,
she was just like, you know, I'm taking you to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, you're not. The next day we were in Littleton and we went to the farmer's market, and the same thing happened. And it was kind of we were in the middle of this farmer's market, and to get back to the car was kind of a big deal. And it took a long time to get back there. And then she's just like, I'm taking you to the emergency room. And I was like, well, I don't have insurance. And she's like, well, you have, you know, the VA.
Yeah.
And she took me to the VA down in Denver. And I'm sitting there, don't really know what to expect. I think they're going to find out, like, you have a pinched nerve, or you've got some
sciatic,
something going on. And then the guy comes back, and he's just like, you've got a really big blood clot in your femoral artery. And at that time, I'm just like, oh, that, okay, cool. Like, what are we gonna do about it?
You know, get on some blood thinners and
And that's what I had a blood clot in my vein before. I had a DVT, and that's where, like, I didn't really even understand the difference between veins and arteries. And you know, he's telling me this stuff, and it was almost like he was speaking another language to me, and I'm just sitting there, kind of like trying to just absorb it in. And basically, he was just like, at some point in your life, you're going to probably have an amputation, and you're going to be on blood thinners for the rest of your life.
Oh, fuck.
As they're taking me to ICU. And, I mean, it was kind of surreal, and just didn't really seem like this was real at all.
So that, at that time, is that when they took you in
No. So what we had done is that they were trying to bust through the clot. And from my understanding, the clot started at my hip and ended at my knee. And they went in an artery on my left side, and then I was a plumber by trade before, so that's the only way I kind of, like, can So basically they were going to Roto-Rooter my leg out and put some like liquid Drano on it as well.
Yeah.
And they
flush that shit, try to flush it.
Yeah. Just trying to break it up and bust it through. And they couldn't touch it the first day. And then they came back the second day and tried it again and nothing happened. And then, so they were just like, you know, you've got this massive blood clot in your artery and we're just going to send you home with a big bottle of oxycodone and a bottle of blood thinners. And I was, I mean, again, I was still, I was in shock. I really didn't even, you know, when you hear the word amputation, you don't think.
Not me.
No. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, especially I was 39 years old.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't stuff that happens to me.
Fucking crazy, dude.
So at that time, I was living with my girlfriend and we just kind of needed to separate ourselves from what was going on. And I went back to the North Platte and stayed with my parents. And just at that time that, I had one question, is at some point in my life, you know, am I going to lose my leg?
Yeah.
And cause it was getting, everything started now to make sense. So all that pain that I was having, it was like, this is not, this is not good. And like, I stubbed my toe, and I could tell, like, this was not good.
It was starting to fucking pain, pain, pain.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of this go on, and his foot would be completely white, like, after working out. I mean, he could, this went on for a while before he actually ended up in the ER or whatever. I mean, it was, you know, those, I'm like, you might want to get there.
Again, I don't think, you know, like, amputation was the last thing that
Yeah, anybody wants that. Nobody wants to lose their limb or anything.
And so I had a month between when I got out of ICU to our next my next doctor's appointment, and you know, that was the first question. I was just like, you know, at some point, is am I gonna lose my leg? And they were like, yeah, most likely you're probably gonna go through an amputation. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, if I'm gonna do it, like, I'd rather do this now.
Yeah,
because I mean, I was in decent shape, and I felt like the oxycodone, I could see the road that I was going down with that, which was not good. Like, so I just wanted to be out of pain. And they offered me a bypass, which didn't really make sense to me. They said they could possibly bypass. But I would always be on blood thinners. And if anything would ever go wrong with it, I would... they would have to take it above the knee automatically. And so we had determined that we were going to start with a below the knee amputation. And so I went, you know, I had about, I think, 6 weeks before we, you know, I go in, and it was like a fight camp, you know, like preparing. And then even like, how is this going to be like having one leg? So, I had worked with the TRX a lot in the past, and so I started trying to come up with like one-legged exercises and stuff. And so, I mean, I also kind of treated it like a fight camp, you know, reminding myself that I'm getting ready to go in and have this surgery on this date. And it sucked, like, to tell yourself that that was gonna happen, you know. And that day just kept getting closer and closer and closer, and then it was just like, all right, here's the day. And then I was good. I was ready to have it happen just because I was sick and tired of being in that much pain. And so we had the first surgery happened, and I turned 40 a week after that surgery. I got out of the hospital, and my parents and whole family, we got together and had a birthday party up at Estes Park, and it was probably one of the worst things we could have done. We went up another, you know, 1,000 feet elevation gain. I was in so much pain. We go back to the hospital, and they find that my incision is infected and that we have to get me into surgery as soon as possible. But I was on blood thinners at that time, and there's a week protocol that you have to go through to get off the blood thinners. So, basically in that week, you know, it's waiting to go in, and they kept saying that, you know, we possibly are going to clean it out. It might take some more if we have to. And I, you know, like right before they gave me the shot, you know, to put me under there, just like, you know, if we have to take any more of your leg, do you want us to wake you up to tell you? And I was like, no,
don't no, fuck no.
To put me back under. I doesn't, you know, like, yeah. I don't want that. And I wasn't, honestly, I was not expecting. So the surgery happens and, you know, and I wake up and I don't have my leg. Yeah. And even because
they were, you were going to do the below the knee, right?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I was, I mean, like right at mid calf, you know.
It was not good, though. Like, it was not healing. And he's, that part when we went up to Estes Park, I was there. I went up there and it was not good. It was seeping really bad. It was nasty. And
the amount of pain that I was on.
And so when they went in, then they, you know.
The pain pills were not even touching it. You know, like, I was on so many pain medicine that, like, it wasn't even touching it. And so, yeah, then, like, I'm, and it, what was funny is that week leading up to it, you know, everyone was saying how great it was being a below the knee and how being above the knee amputee, it's worse because you're missing that other joint. Now I'm sitting there just like,
what the fuck?
I was so pissed. Yeah. Just pissed off because, you know, even just everything that had gone on up into that point, and then now I'm sitting there probably at one of the lowest points of my life.
Yeah.
Probably. And, I mean, do you even go back? Like, I had just lost my wife to brain cancer right before that. And then, you know, like, now I'm sitting in this bed where, you know, like, one of the worst things that they were telling me could happen has now happened. And what am I going to...
Yeah, you're like, how am I going to face this shit? I just literally had... you're at rock bottom right now, yeah, man.
What am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Yeah, and to me, right now, Ryan, is like, what I see, like, we got this guy here now, and you got him part of the team and everything, and, like your story is... Like, yeah. This is why I wanted you on it, because you inspire fucking everybody, dude. And when I see you is like, I don't take my shit for granted anymore. Like, everything. You don't take, you know, there's certain things. Because, like, when you hear about, like, losing a limb, losing a leg, you think, oh, I'm going to get in a car wreck, and that's how, if I'm going to lose it, right? Or something like that, you know? You don't ever have, like, that mental game, like, oh, this 6 weeks, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to go in for surgery.
Yeah.
That part would be fucking hard for me.
Oh, no, yeah, no. He'd come in. We did our last pad session, like, holding pads with his leg.
Yeah.
You know, and then getting pads, all that.
Yeah.
This guy's been, I mean, we've been through some shit, you know. Like, shit, his brother started my fight career. His brother fucking entered me in a fight.
That's
on the
what
internet.
I'm
just telling you, like, there's a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know? Like, you guys are like, I mean.
Well, I grew up with Rustin.
Yeah,
right?
You guys
Rustin
were like.
And his parents, you know, we took me all over the
all
place.
All over the place,
yeah,
right?
Just,
I know. Non-stop. So, like, Rustin here is the big brother, and he has another little brother called Riley. Riley was
called a booger.
Yeah, a little booger. Riley was more my buddy. Like, we would wrestle all summer long. He was like, he kind of took me underneath the ring or his wing. And literally, I got nothing but love for, you know, your brother, you guys. And, you know, just the amount of shit you went through, you know. Now, I mean, we no one will ever know what you go through a day to day base. And what you do now with bringing people in, bringing smiles to their face, making them feel good, like, that part has to be rewarding.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know what it's like. I always say, like, there's coaches out there that, yeah, they maybe not have ever stepped in the cage, and there's that distance of, like, oh, they really don't know what it's like to being in there. And I think I always say the people that have fought it, done it, you know, amateur, pro, or whatever, I think they're the real good coaches. Like, they know what the fucking fighter's going through. You have literally been through the process. You know what, like, an amputee goes through, or a person like Perkinson's. They have a different battle. They're all people facing different battles.
And, of course, and everybody theirs, does. And all theirs are different. And all the Parkinson's, all their stuff is a little bit different. There's some common things that go on, but honestly, it's all their own little battles, you know what I mean? And it's kind of mind frame, a lot of it, you know what I mean?
But that's what, kind of what you guys bring them in. You guys let them, this is their outlet.
Like, no, I just scream outlet. At them. You can ask them. I just scream at them and try to motivate them. I don't know, man. It's not rocket science.
Yeah,
right?
But they come back for more and more.
It's because they're part of something. They're part of the gym. We get them fights, tickets to the fights and stuff like that. We get them out going, you know, and I think for anybody out there, you know, it's kind of like with Russin's deal, with anybody's deal is having hard times, keep fucking moving.
Yep.
Don't just sit out, man. Don't put yourself on the sidelines. You know what I mean? Keep growing. Keep trying to put yourself out there and do some things that scare you.
Yeah.
It keep you alive. I promise it will. Yeah.
That's what it'll help
you. And that's what we do at Trials, man.
I mean, we're constantly adapting. We don't realize it, you know?
Yeah.
When something like this happens, you have to quickly adapt, and it's also like I can't really hide this adaptation that I have, you know.
Yeah,
like
we tried, didn't we?
we all have some issue. Like I tell people, like I feel like I was more disabled when I had two legs.
Mm-hmm.
Like after losing the leg and then figuring out how to box again, like that was the biggest therapy that I had. I remember, like, I called Ryan up and I was just like, because all I had was my wheelchair, and I didn't really even have my prosthetic leg all the time, and I could only go as far as that would take me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, listen, can we work something out? Can you pick me up? He would pick me up on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he had class going on, and I would go over there and hit the heavy bag.
Let me get it done.
And then it was just like how therapeutic that it was, and I could do it, and I could do it on sitting in a wheelchair. I could do it with my prosthetic leg on. I could do it in so many different ways. And I was like, if this is helping me, it could probably help other people as well. And then that's kind of where, like, Be Bold kind of got started with our adaptive boxing classes, is that we bring in anyone and everyone to our class. Like, I don't care what. You could be an introvert, come to our class, and if that helps you get through your day or give you the courage to try another class out or something, then, you know, come to our classes. And I think that honestly, we've had every ability in that gym come and do classes. I mean, we had a guy that was blind one time.
No shit.
I didn't know he's blind, dude. I was holding pads for him.
Ryan's
holding not shitting you, man. He's what? He's, you know, he was doing it with my voice, so he knew exactly where to throw the punches. But I knew he had a disability, but I couldn't figure out what it was, and then he's blind. And I was like, no shit.
And
it's pretty cool stuff, man. It's
that
just,
is crazy.
Yeah.
His name's Trevor, and Trevor is just very, he uses all of his other senses, you know?
Yeah.
And like, it was just really cool to see how Trevor, and a lot of the times, they already know how to do it. You just got to encourage it out of them.
Right.
You know? And it's just like, if you've been in this disability world for longer than a day, you've probably learned how to adapt.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times it's like you got to allow them to, you know, to bring it out of them. And then this big smiles on their face because they figured it out, you know, and it's in a way that they've created it for themselves and it's theirs. And like we were even experimenting. He hikes a lot with his wife and she wears a bell. So he can hear her as she walks through the path and stuff.
That's crazy, dude.
So we were trying to work that in with the pad holding and stuff, where she would have a bell on her wrist, and like if they do a duck and roll or something, that he could understand like where the sound was coming from. And you know, and some things work and some things don't, but it's they are creating it for themselves. And you know, when I lost my leg, and I heard that people with disabilities are three times more likely to be attacked than able-bodied people. And I was like, that's not really an ability issue, in my opinion. That's more of a confidence issue. And I think, like, what you need to have is just confidence in yourself. It doesn't matter, like, if you're in a wheelchair or a prosthetic leg or you just don't have confidence in yourself.
Right.
You know, it's just like,
I think that's anybody, though, you know what I mean? If you don't have confidence, you're fucking missing out on a lot of things, you know?
And then just to try to use boxing to instill that confidence into people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think, too, they come in and they're a part of something. You know, they're a part of a group.
It's camaraderie, man.
Yeah, and, you know, just showing up, especially like the Parkinson's, you know, just showing up and, you're winning. And I tell them that. It's a win just coming here.
Yeah.
Even if they don't get the full workout in or something goes bad that day and they just have a bad day, you know, shit happens. But the fact that they've chosen to not just lay down and let Parkinson's take them fucking over is a win. You know, when they come to the class, if you're listening, you want to come try Parkinson's class, just know that I will not treat you like you're sick. All right? We run a hard fucking class. I'm serious. You can ask my people, dude.
Yeah.
People come from all over the country to do our classes, too. If they travel around, you can go to the Parkinson's places, you know, that have the Rocksteady Boxing.
Yeah.
And we run a hard one. All right? Everybody that comes through says, yeah, your guys' class is pretty hard. So we like to get after it in there, don't we, Rustin?
Yeah, and that's what's we don't treat them any different. We don't treat them like they've got Parkinson's. We just treat them like they're in a boxing
they're
class.
In a gym.
Yeah.
They're part of this gym. It's a family gym, man. That's what it is. You're part of the family. Need some help. I mean, we do house calls. Me and Rose. Look, if they – I love what I do. I feel blessed to do what I do, you know. And I just think a lot of how Rustin's with me and how just growing up with him and just – basically, his brother started my fight career. I mean, all this shit was by accident, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, man. It really is, you know. I just kind of fell into some places and just kind of kept that energy going. And we're doing some great shit there, man. And don't be fooled what it is in my gym, dude. It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. And he's working big time through there. Yeah. Trials and tribulations. You think about the name of the gym itself. All right. This has been a plan for a long time. And I'm super proud of all my people. And I got the best people in my gym, you know, from the fighters down to my 4-year-olds. And it's great, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I seen what you do, you know, at the gym, and like I said, I've been there firsthand, and I'm like, dude, this is sweet, man. Like, it's inspiring. And just the story that, you know, you've had and the story that you have and where you guys unite in one building, like, it's fucking, that's a fucking powerful thing, man.
It's
you
good
guys
energy,
got.
Man.
That's honestly it.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, when people ask about what trial, you have to come in. Just come check it out, in. Man. Honestly, we do a week for free anyway. Come anytime you want, you know. And I'm not a business guy, guys. Yeah. All right, I'm not. Come in, you tell me it sucks. You can tell me it sucks, leave. I don't care. You know what I mean? But come in, give it a try, you know, and see the energy that's there and just kind of meet some people, you know, especially if you're down on your luck right now and you got you just need something, man. I would get to be a part of something, and exercise is never a bad idea.
Ever. It's an outlet, ever. Man. Ever. It's your outlet. I mean,
it's therapy for me, dude. Yeah. If I ain't moving, I'm not safe out there. I'm telling you that right now, guys.
Yeah, well, that's what... fact. So that's... I get it.
It's what I do my whole life.
So people ask me all the time, do you miss it, you know? When did you retire, Ryan?
Shit, I don't even remember. 2014 or 15?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's when I retired.
I still keep trying to talk to my wife and let me do one for fun, you know? I still like doing it. But I'm on the mats all day long anyway, you know what I mean? I'm still rolling around, sparring and all that stuff, so... And wrestling with my kid, you know, and he's starting to be a beast, so shit, yeah.
But, so I retired in, 14? Yeah. I think 15, too, right around the same time. And literally, everybody asked me, don't you fucking miss it? And I'm like, no, I don't fucking miss it. I'm literally around it all the time. If I miss it, I'll spar with the guys. You know, I'll spar with
Justin. You get your fix, right?
I get my fix. That's my outlet, though. And there's, like, my wife knows, like, when I haven't been working out or doing it because I'm an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's like, dude, you need to go fucking spar hit or
go
whatever.
Go do something. Go get punched.
And it's my outlet, man. It is. And I see why people would come in there with whatever disease they have, amputee, whatever, and you guys give them the option to do that. And I think that is huge.
Yeah.
I think a lot of gyms should do that, man, because it's such a good outlet for you. I mean, it is. And I just, man, I'm pumped for you guys for doing that.
This drink break is brought to you by KillCliff.com, energy that doesn't suck.
KillCliff is the clean energy drink with no sugar and 150 milligrams of clean caffeine. Now with 100% more winning, because losing sucks and losing is for losers.
Did I mention it's totally American and a proud partner of the Navy SEAL Foundation? Guys, check them out. KillCliff.com, type in our code GU15.
The question is, you kind of touched a little base on it. I did, I had to call my boy Dion.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Debo.
And actually, he's listening right now. He just said, what up, fellas? Debo in the house.
I miss that boy. I should have known you was going to call Debo. Damn it.
So anyways, he was like, I said, hey, man, I got these guys. I got Ryan. Mm-hmm. I got Rustin coming in. I said, give me a little something, story or something like that. He goes, well, let me think about it, and call me back. He goes, you know what? Ask Ryan about how he started his fight career.
Yeah.
And you kind of touched base with it. this is something I did not fucking know either.
Straight up.
I swear to God, I was like, no fucking shit. No. Because, like I said, you were a animal growing up.
Yeah.
You were a wrestler, wrestled at University of Nebraska, which is a badass school.
Yeah.
And, you were always the guy we looked up to as a younger kid. Like, if you wanted to wrestle, be like Ryan, right? I mean, you were the guy
I guess.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Everybody has their people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that.
And so Dion goes, ask him about his fight career.
All right.
And back to Booger, right? Yeah.
100%, man.
Your brother, your little brother.
You know, I'm telling you, man, it's no shit. Like, I graduated college and went back home. And everybody was like, you know, UFC, oh, you should do that shit, right? You like to fight, you know, and I got in fights and stuff or whatever, street fight, whatever the crap is. So I go back and I move in with Rustin for a bit. Me and Jake did. My buddy Jake, you know, Jake Kemp.
Yep.
We moved in with Rustin for a minute and started plumbing out there for a bit after I graduated college because, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then I moved to Colorado and I was in Fort Collins and Booger calls me up one day and just says straight up, and that's how my fight career, this is exactly how it happened. He called me up and said, hey, listen, don't be pissed. I'm like, okay, Riley, why would I be pissed? And he goes, well, I entered you in a fight. I'm like, what do you mean you entered me in a fight? He goes, well, the Dan Severn show in North Dakota, they said you could fight because you're a college wrestler, so they'll just take you. And I'm like, okay. He goes, you're fighting a kid from Canada, kickboxer. And I'm like, okay. Well, I'm not training Riley. I got long hair.
Yep.
I'm lifting weights and plumbing. So whatever. So what? I started running a little bit more, whatever, and we did it. We did the fight. I knocked some kid out from Canada, la, la, la. Matt Lindland gets a hold of me. He was a coach of mine, Olympic silver medalist. You guys know him from Team Quest. Starts recruiting me to go there. That's how it all started. That's it. And it's just been that way ever since, and I was pretty good at it, so I did fairly well, and then I started coaching, and that's really my niche, man. Coaching is my calling, I think. I love it. I'm a blessed dude to do what I do, and shit. In some sense, you know, the Hughes has been part of the journey the whole way, even since my wrestling career when I started wrestling in second grade.
Right.
I mean, so it's kind of crazy, man, how shit happens.
I know. I hear you, man. But, like, so
I'm just going with it, dude. I'm letting Jesus lead, and I just do it. And I kind of feel kind of guilty because I'm like, well, I really didn't plan my life out, guys. It just kind of happened. Yeah. And I'm like, but it's pretty awesome.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You live an awesome life.
Yeah, man. I work for myself, and I'm around when I go to work. Okay, and this is what I tell people, they're like, man, you work so hard, and people think I'm whatever. They think I'm a good person, I think, but overall, man, I'm like, you look at what you guys give me. When I go to work, the energy I'm around all day long is people's good time,
yeah,
what they want to be doing. That's I don't facts. Sit in a cubicle with everybody's hating their fucking life, you know, all day long. I'm not sitting on a train,
yeah.
Whatever, you know, I'm around energy that people are happy.
Yep.
Shit. I'll stay young forever. It'd be great.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm and, blessed.
I mean, it is. It's literally what you guys bring in, the joy of people. That's their hour of fucking, oh, man, this is where I get to work out and let loose.
Yeah.
It is true. I never really looked at it like that. I feel like when, you know, being a trainer, coach, whatever, I feel like we wear a lot of hats. Therapist.
Oh, yeah, right. Seriously.
You know, nutritionist, coach.
Coaching isn't all about technique.
No,
is it?
Dude.
It's not all about technique. As a matter of fact, the technique's kind of a small part of it. Yep. And technique you can teach to a monkey.
Yep.
Think about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot that goes on in being a coach.
To do it.
It's a serious deal.
I think it's the bond, the relationship you guys get. Like, I mean, when I moved out here in 2005, literally, I have some of the same clients that I had back then to now. And it's like a relationship you get. And that's something that I don't take dearly, or I shouldn't say take for granted.
Yeah.
Because I love it, man. Because now I'm best friends with them. You know, we hunt together now.
Yeah.
We've done so many things together, and you know, and I came in as just one of their coaches. They want to lose weight, you know. Oh. And now I got a friendship with some of these guys. It's crazy, like, you know. So I think I get what you guys are doing at Trials. And I think it's fucking unique, man. It takes special people to do that. And would you have asked me, you know, when you were fighting, would you guys be doing this? I'd be like, hell no.
Yeah.
Because you were a fucking ground and pound.
Yeah, let's get him.
Fucking monster, right? And, you know, so you fought in the IFL. Uh-huh. And you were a part of Team Quest, mm-hmm, all the way in Oregon. Randy Couture, mm-hmm, Matt Lindland. I mean, who was there at the gym, you know?
It was a rough room.
Rough room, right? Yeah. And, you know, to see where you came from and did that. And when I was doing my career and doing it, I felt like, I honestly felt like every time I would go back home, people would always be like, when are you going to fight Ryan?
Yeah.
When are you going to fight Ryan?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When are you going to fight Ryan? Yeah. And I'm like, dude, yeah. Why can't you guys be happy?
Like,
you know,
he's doing good and I'm doing good. Just leave like, it be, fuck, baby. You know what I'm saying?
And
there's a lot of fish in the pond to fight, boys. It's okay, you know, not to fight everybody.
And I think, you know, a lot of times, I think it was just more friends, peers. They wanted to, you know, you had your friends. Yeah, I had my friends. And I remember just numerous times just like, oh, man, when are you guys going to fight, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fuck, man, when they pay me. If I'm going to fight him, I'm going to get paid, right?
Yeah.
And I always wonder, like, so tell me, you were 155-er. I was a 155-er. How would you have beat me?
I don't know, man. I just would have came after you like I always do, dude. My mind frame of fighting was just get after him, make him uncomfortable the whole time, you know, and just try to fucking make you quit.
Yeah.
See what I'm going to do, dude.
Pose their will on
it. I'm just going
to
go.
Yeah. I think that's honestly the route to do. Me, personally, if I had to fight Ryan Schultz, I knew I didn't want that motherfucker on top of me.
Yeah. If I get a takedown.
He ain't
going
to let you up.
Yeah, I might be able to keep you down there for a minute.
So I guess in your career, Ryan, what was probably one of the most memorable fights, you know, besides winning a world title?
You know, I mean, they're all, you know how you have your moments with all of them and you have your, where you're at, mind frame and this and that and the other. But like some of my favorite fights, man, you know, I mean, the Hordecki fight, obviously, oh, to win a title, you know, but I think my fight with Davidius Tarasevicius was a better fight. I feel like that was a scrap. That kid was tough. I fought a guy named John Gunnarsson, and that was one of those tougher fights because it'd be like he was the main guy out in Oregon, you know, so he's kind of the guy, kind of like fighting you would be that extra little like, oh, who's going to win that? You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, the extra pressure of the, oh, it's local, you know, type of shit. So that one was a little different for me, but I don't know, man. They were all pretty good. I think one of the, you know, there's not a whole lot in this game I haven't done, you know, and I think probably one of the bigger moments are one of the more, I would say, like, you know, when you're kind of done with it, you're like, damn, I just did that. Was probably the Super Brawl, the three fights in one night.
Yep. Yeah, fucking crazy.
Not very many fighters can say they've done that. You know, I did three MMA fights back to back to back in one night. And I'm pretty proud of that. And I think when
that was in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, that was in Hawaii, you know, and those were some tough dudes I fought in that. They end up being pretty good down the road, you know, like pretty good. And that was rough. And I think just bringing that, like you were talking about coaching, you know, there's not too much that these kids are going to face, you know?
Yep.
And honestly, the money I made for that, these guys are making for one fight. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So here's the thing, guys. You start bitching about all this money you're making. I'm like, look, dude, I fought a guy that fought twice for a world title for $350. Yep. So, and that doesn't do shit for free.
That's exactly what I was talking about. He's like,
the game's changed a lot. You know?
Tons, right? Like, fuck. When I fought three times a night for victory to win the belt, right? I said, what the fuck was I thinking of doing this, right?
It's a different game, man.
My first fight literally went the distance, ended up winning. Second fight went the distance. Yep. Third fight, I ended up fucking like, I just want to go in there and knock this motherfucker out and literally win, right? I'm in it now. Guess what I won?
Yeah.
I won the belt and I won $1,000.
Yeah. Thanks for playing.
$1,000, bro.
Yeah, right.
And I'm blown away, right? Yeah. And I'm like, people are like, man, I want to do a three. I want to fight.
No, you don't.
The Muay Thai tournament we just did. I was down there coaching a couple guys. And they were like, fuck, dude. How the fuck did you fight three times in one night? And they were 5-minute rounds. They're doing 2-minute rounds. And they were fucking like, dude, this is crazy.
Yeah, no, mine was 3-3s. The first two fights were 3-3s.
Okay.
The finals was going to be 3-5s, I believe is what it was. So.
Yeah, fucking horrible. It's a nightmare, dude. My shins hurt. My fucking hands hurt already, you know, off my first fight.
And I was fortunate enough. I only had to do the first fight, went the distance. And then my other two, I was able to finish pretty quick.
Did you really?
I felt good about that, yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
So I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here, man.
It was nuts. I don't recommend fighting more than once fucking a night.
I don't even know if they allow it a lot of times anymore.
I don't think they do. I mean, I know Bellator does those tournaments, but they do them in different nights now, right?
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, which I like that because, you know, when you're fighting, you know, I kind of like those tournament style. I like
it.
I'd still do it, you know. Whatever. I'm not gonna lie.
I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna do it for $1,000.
How about you? No. I mean, I would hope to be able to pull a little bit more than that, but shit, that's what it is.
Yeah, it is. Rusty, in your amateur career, like, what was the most joyful part of the whole fight?
So, what was funny is you were at my first fight.
Yeah.
And I was older too, you know, like I was 32 on my first fight. So I think for me, like my wife had cancer at that time and I was just frustrated with life in general. And I was, and I didn't know that I had a title of caregiver at that time, and caregivers need kind of a release in a sense. And then I used the gym was my release. The gym was my
outlet,
my outlet. And she enjoyed me fighting. She enjoyed watching me fight. And it was, I don't know, just to go out there and put into it. Cause she was fighting, you know, she was fighting
her own battle
11 years. And that's why, I mean, like I wanted to do a little bit more than I actually did, but there were times when I had to be in her corner.
Yep.
And, but you know, just to be able to do it. And then the coaching part of it, I was in Kearney at that time, kind of took over as the coach there in Kearney. And then, you know, just to be involved with those guys and, I don't know, just that. I mean, it reminds me of wrestling, you know, the friends that, I mean, all look at us right here.
Yeah, exactly.
From that same group of people from wrestling. We've been wrestling since we were little.
Warriors.
Brothers, man.
Warriors, you know, you just know each other better, man. Yeah. It's like simple.
And then, you know, going to the military and then still having that same camaraderie and then coming back and looking for something where it still has that same camaraderie and you can still, you know, give 100% blood, sweat, and tears into something. And then, I mean, fight. I mean, the gym just seemed to go right along with it.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, if you're going to spend that amount of time with these people, I mean, that's, you know, it's a second family.
Yep.
You know, and just to be a part of that family and, you know, to be a part of Trials family is.
And I don't think about retirement.
Yeah,
I'm not retiring from going to the gym.
Yeah,
I'm not retired from that,
dude.
As far as competing, fighting, all that. Yeah, your competition that goes, you know.
Yeah,
but we don't. I feel like I won, you know, if I can feed my family and keep my lights on or whatever, you know, and can go to work and at a gym. Like,
I get to wear t-shirts.
I get to do what I want.
Shorts.
I drink coffee all day and I scream, yell, and I wrestle and I get to punch people in the face if I want. It's great.
Dude. It's awesome.
I look at it too. Is like
whole pads. Awesome.
Holding pads is been really cool because we've gotten the Be Bold and Parkinson's.
Yeah,
dude, they're kickboxing, bro. Like we don't just they're kickboxing.
Dude, that's crazy. So
cool, like fighters, like legit.
Our oldest, 81.
Yeah.
And you know, to watch them do the combos,
but it's rough too, you know, because some of them have passed.
Yeah,
we've lost a few, you know. Yeah. Like, you get close to them, you know what I mean? So. But that's what life's about, you know. And I tell them, I don't say goodbyes. And everybody has their own beliefs and stuff, but I don't say goodbyes. It's just see you later in a better place, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where it goes. But it's rough, man, in times in there. And but we remember them, and we just keep moving forward, you know. And that's what all you can do, you know, keep moving.
Well, it's kind of what I mean. Look at you for perfect example. You know, you had the bottom of all bottoms, like. In your face, and you just picked yourself up and look at you now, dude. And that's why I say, man, like you're a fucking G. Well, like you are a fucking G, dude.
It was something that I mean, no one wants to go through something like this.
Yeah.
It was a blessing in disguise, you know? And it's like, if this wouldn't have happened, then a lot of things in my life wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know? And honestly, like I don't look at me losing a leg as a disability. Like, don't get me wrong, there's times when it sucks, but there's also things that I've found, and that's what I try to show other people is, like, find the ability in your disability. Like, I have been doing jujitsu since I lost my leg.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, kind of like, what in the fuck are you trying to do jujitsu for? You know, like, you're older and you have one leg, and it's just like, well, there's a lot of... I kind of took it and ran with it. I name it nub jitsu.
Yeah.
And I just try to come up with positions and ways to get people into and they don't know how to get out of because they've never grappled against a guy.
Yeah.
Because he's missing a handle. Yeah. There's no leg there. And I'm telling you right now, it's an advantage.
And also, I get to
wrestling is like being tangled up with barbed wire, everybody. It's not fun.
I get to take my leg off and.
Get away from me, Rustin. Get away from me, Rustin. I'm not rolling with you today. Get away from me, Rustin. Get away from me, Rustin.
Then I kind of look at it too. It's like I got on a para jiu-jitsu team, and we went to LA and competed at the UAE JJF.
Yeah.
And then from that, you know, I went and competed in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
At Worlds. Was supposedly going again this November if everything works out right.
Yeah. Good for you.
We want to get an American team started. I'm in contact with the Brazilians, and the Brazilians have been doing this for quite a while, and they have already like 3,000 para competitors, all abilities. They have it broke up into 13 different categories. So I've, you know, like way I look at it is it's not really a disability if you find all these different advantages in it, mm-hmm. you know, and like not to look at, we all have disabilities in our life. We all have things that are going to hold us down.
Yeah.
And then just like it's between the ears is really is
where it's where it's at. It's all the mental shit, right?
And like this is just a vessel. My body is just a vessel. You're finding ways to adapt. And we, I don't know. It's just been this huge blessing in disguise to go through this. And I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now if I wouldn't have gone through it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you never know. It's just different deal.
It's like with anything, you know. Yeah. If you reached all your goals in wrestling, would you be doing this right? I don't know. If I reached all my goals in fighting, would I be doing this? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where I'd be, but I am where I am, and I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah,
and I love it.
Yeah, I always say like, you know, we our life is our story in our own book, and write it. We write our own chapters and everything. That was a chapter in your life. You know, fighting was a chapter in our lives, everybody's lives, and it's just a different fight now each day, you know. I think people do it. And to me, fighting has did nothing but great things for me.
Mm-hmm. Like it's crazy. Fight will go take you nowhere, Mr. Schultz. Mm. The fighting shit. I've been to Romania, Russia, Ireland, Japan. I've been all over the damn world for this stuff, man.
Yeah, like, it's crazy, right?
It's awesome, dude.
That's what, you know, there was an incident when my dad, you know, I listened to him, everything. You know, he'd tell me what to do. Yes, Dad, I'll do it, right? And he told me at one point when I was already fighting. I won a couple local belts already, and I was trying to get in the UFC, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right, man, it's time to put this up, Luke. You know, enough's enough. What are you going to do with this fighting shit? I said, I don't know, but I love this shit. You know, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm making money. It
opens up doors, right? Man. It opens up all kinds of stuff.
I literally finally got the contract signed, going to UFC. They flew out Florida, watch me fight, and I came back after the fight, and I'm all fucked up, right? Lost to a decision, but I'm still living cloud nine. I went out there and
did your thing,
and hung out with them, sat next to my mom and dad, and I remember one thing that I always remember. He leaned over to me, he goes, I'm glad you didn't listen to me.
Yeah,
I'm glad you didn't listen.
Hell
to me.
Yeah,
because to me that was like, oh shit, you know, I made my own decision. I was a man at that point where, guess what? I don't want to fail. That was not me failing. I didn't want.
That's Dad telling you right.
Mm.
Yeah, I love it, man. Without saying it, without actually saying it all the way.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah. So it was cool. Cody, did you have a question? Do we have a question?
No.
Yeah, he was gone.
Yeah, all right. Good. It was like 45 minutes ago. Okay. So thanks for calling on me, bro.
Anyways, so back to you know, the life of, you know, you guys running trials. Mm. What? I mean, when you guys are outside of the gym, what all do you guys do outside of the gym? I mean, I know that's your life.
Yeah, I mean, I basically do wrestling. Other than that, you know, I'm into my kids' sports all the time, helping out with the wrestling stuff and coaching that. And then, you know, during season, I like to go hunting. You know what I mean? And basically, I'm doing some form of combatives every day, man. It's kind of what I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You love what's your favorite animal to hunt?
Well, I mean, I've just been hunting mostly just elk, so into elk hunting right now. Once a year, man, it's the best meat ever, right?
I know.
And we'll get a deer tag too, you know, but we'd like that elk.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the best meat.
And it's just a good trip for us. We go up with my brothers and camp out in the woods for a week or better, whatever the season is. And it's a good time, so.
Yeah, I love it. What about you, Russ? What do you like to do?
Nub jitsu. And I also like to drink coffee.
Yeah, you're a big coffee man, huh?
All day long, every day. I got problems.
I don't know. I've been wanting to get more into like outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
Like I found that if you have a disability in the state of Colorado, you can get a lifetime fishing permit.
Yep.
And so we last year we took some people out ice fishing,
uh-huh.
And I think that a lot of people don't even know how to fish anymore. you know, and just to kind of get back into nature and that. So fishing is one of the things that I like to do if I do have some time.
You fly fish?
You know, when I was little, my grandpa used to fly fish.
Yeah.
And it was different, though. We did it in the lake, kind of fly fishing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't where you're constantly messing with it. I know how to, but I don't. If I even get to go fishing anymore, we go up to Valentine to the
river. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ice fishing there. That's fun there. We catch those big old northern pikes in there.
Through the ice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man. So I guess the thing I want to know now is, like, when you wrestled in Nebraska.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me a little bit of what's different between that wrestling room now to what it was to carry over in your fight career.
Okay, so, like, you mean, like, how it helped or what?
Yeah, like, well, like,
college wrestling is the hardest thing I've ever done, man.
Yeah.
You
that's kind of what I'm getting at.
College wrestling is by far the hardest thing I've ever done. You know, and I walked on at Nebraska and I earned a scholarship when I was there, you know, and I wasn't that successful, man. But I did break the lineup and, you know, I did my thing and I could wrestle with them boys at times, you know. But it was rough, dude. And I had a lot of injuries and a lot of things they were telling me, you know, hang it up, but I just kept doing it. And I think that's just, you know, that the kind of spit and grit kind of gets you through the fight world too. The fight world's a little easier because, you know, especially nowadays, it seems like people pull out a lot easier. You know, you don't have to fight if you're not feeling great.
Yep.
Wrestling's a season. If you're not ready, you're not ready. You know, and the other thing is there's always somebody trying to take your spot. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And they're recruiting over the top of you. They have to. It's not like an evil game. It just is what it is. You know what I mean? So I just feel like that. And you're in a room with all alphas. You know, when you go from high school to college, now you're in a room with all alphas.
Yep.
And now it's like, and you see a lot of people, you see a lot of alphas breaking there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's good stuff. So I definitely think it's helped me out. Wrestling will always be the thing that I think has shaped my life, other than my family, like my parents
right,
over everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like we were talking about, you know, the whole people wear masks, man. People wear masks every day, not just during this COVID shit. Like, they wear them every day. And I can tell you, because, like, my son, I told him, you know, all them kids on your wrestling team, how many of those kids you see cry at the lunch table? You know, no, they would never do that. That's embarrassing. Don't cry in front of people. But how many of them you see crying in a wrestling room, boy?
Yeah.
Or a wrestling mat?
Fuck.
Every
facts.
Fucking one of them. That gives a shit.
Yeah.
So you know each other for real. And that's that warrior brotherhood I'm talking about. And you'll see that in the gym. You'll see that through the MMA too. You know, especially when guys stay loyal to each other, not jumping around, going every which way. You know, they're staying together.
Yep.
Blood, sweat, and tears, dude. I'll be there. You can ask my teammates right now. If those fuckers called me right now, I'd probably go to practice at Team Quest if they still had it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? If they still had the same fight team. Hey, my boys need you. I'll be there. You know what I mean? Because you need me as well as I need. Nobody gets to the top on their own in this shit. Not in life either. You know, don't be afraid to ask for help. But also, you know, sometimes just rely on yourself a little bit more. And that's what wrestling teaches you. Like, fuck it. I tell my kids, look, pretend like nobody's there. Pretend like nobody's going to help you. Because I might not be there tomorrow. You have to learn how to fucking take care of yourself, man. You have to fucking have some grit in this world. You know, and right now everybody give you shit for free. Stay at home. Fuck you. I'm not sitting at home. You know, it's time to get out and get your asses moving and fucking own up to what you did. You're going to take what you put in. That's how I feel about it. And wrestling, it's a fact. I've seen so many good, because I coach wrestling a lot, and I've seen so many really good athletes that they can do all their sports, number one, number two. Oh, I'm like the second best at the basketball. I go over here, I'm the best. Come to wrestling, Matt, though, and see what happens.
Dog.
It ain't nothing like it, is it? Because it's more mental than anything, just like the fight world.
Fuck.
You got to be the baddest of the baddest, motherfucker. And I'm telling you right now, win, lose, or draw, it don't matter. I'll fight anybody any day of the week, you know, and I love it. I love it more than I did when I was competing.
Really?
I do. I love this shit. It's great because it teaches people who they are. You know this.
I know. I'm pumped right now, dog.
All right,
I feel like I'm fucking.
Hey, you ready to go? You got the juice. We're ready to go. We're getting the juice.
I feel like motherfucking top flight.
Yeah. You know.
I feel like top flight now.
Yeah.
But
it
honestly,
just brings it out of people. It's just like the wrestling world, dude. Moms fucking punching moms in the stands, this, that. They're just going crazy, dude. It just brings energy to people, dude. My gym is alive.
Yeah.
It's alive.
I feel it right now, right? Yes. I feel it because, like, honestly.
You've been down there too, you know.
It is. It's good energy. And I think that's what, you know, what it's all about is, like, when you find the team, and we were talking, you just kind of touched base on it. And the one thing that I will say that's made me step away a lot more from the gym aspect is you know, the loyalty of it. I cannot stand it anymore, dude.
Right.
I mean, I'm different, you know, kind of just like you.
You're North Platte style, bud. Straight up, that's one thing about that small town North Platte, dude. Boys stick together. Yeah. We are fucking, we're family.
I'm a loyal motherfucker. I'll go to.
That's it. You know, that's number one.
And like, so when I give something, like my energy to you, and then, you know, I get you there. And, you know, sometimes we get the, you know, we'll win a lot and we've lost, right? And then once that loss happens, guess what? They can fucking, oh, it's time to go chain another fucking gym. Dog, where's your loyalty at, dude? Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that fucking bites my ass so much. And, yeah, whatever. Good. Go explore. Because guess what? The grass is not greener over there. And you're going to find out how much energy I gave you and how much I gave you for free. And now you're going to pay this motherfucker. And,
yeah.
It chaps my ass because, man, it doesn't, you know, like for me, that's why like I never burned a bridge where I in the whole MMA game. That's why I'm welcome to any gym in Colorado. I don't burn bridges, man. I don't jump. You know, if you want to come and train with me, cool. Is it cool with your coach? Cool. Make sure you talk about that. I'm not trying to take your coach.
I'm
not trying to take your fighter. I don't want it. You know what I mean? And I just feel like, you know, the sport nowadays is just like I need to be at the top. I need to be. It's all about me. You know what I mean? Don't you forget about all the people that's helped you get to that spot. Right?
You know what I'm talking about. It gets a little selfish, you know? And don't get me wrong, dude, to be a professional athlete and stuff, there's times you got to be a little selfish, and we know that. And that's hard on families and stuff like that. That's the shit that the people don't see. They see all the glory and this, that, and the other. They don't see the hard times, the fighting with the wives and the kids or whatever your fucking situation is, you know, because you're cutting weight or you're pissed off. You have to go to a workout, can't pick this kid up, and shit's hitting the fan, you know? But you're just trying to do it for best of your family type of shit, you know? Yep. It's not for everybody, but you know, that loyalty thing is huge because you need to rely on your teammates to be there when you're having a hard times, this, that, and then they can pick up some slack for you, you know, and coaches need to be there for their fighters, but also their fighters need to be there and, you know, and give love to their coaches as far as that relationship goes, you know,
Don't
forget who you were before I met you type of shit, right?
Yep.
I know who you was when you came here. You didn't know that shit. You weren't that good, buddy.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, and then
you weren't. Trust me.
I know. Yeah. That's the facts that I was saying, right? And
right.
And like right now is a perfect example of, you know, loyalty. Right now is what I see between you two. It's a bond. It's a brotherhood, and you know, just from where you guys are at, from North Platte, where I know where you guys grew up from, because I did it too, and to see what you guys are doing now and what you've been through. I mean, the fight game is fucking crazy. Right?
Oh man, dude,
it's a crazy.
I mean, on the highest of highs and lowest of lows. You know, it's a roller coaster of emotions all the time, and even just with your fighters too. You know what I'm saying? You're wearing that shit.
I always say, man, the hardest time in my career is I had 3 losses in a row.
Yep, that hurts.
And I was like, what the fuck? But that time when I came back from those 3 losses and win, that was the best fucking experience I could ever went through. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it made me. The person I am, the fighter now, a coach now, because I know what it's
right,
like.
Just able to do what life's bullshit it throws at you because it's going to try to knock you down all the time. It's like, whatever, dude.
Yep. Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. It's like, bring it. Don't sing it, bring it.
Anything in the world, right? Like, I think that's what's made you who you are now, right? Like, why you can fucking face anything that comes at you.
Yep. And life is short, too, you know? Yeah. It's like we just did, you know, a blink of an eye.
I wrote that on my arm, guys. It says right there, short time.
Oh, shit.
It does. Short time.
Short time. Yeah. That's dope. When did you get that?
A long time ago. Right after I think won the world title, and then I went backpacking for a week with Dan Albertson, and then I hiked into San Francisco and had a guy put that on. Just because I was doing private lessons with a kid out in Oregon for a while, man. He got killed, and he raced race cars.
Uh-huh.
And he got killed, went through a fence, and so it was pretty rough, but short time and, you know, short time wrestling. Yep, you got to score now. You got to go. You got to go now. You know, you got short time. So it's just one of those things, and just life is short. And don't wait till tomorrow to do it, you know. Just so I put that on the arm, remember that shit. And then just watching that 12-year-old, you know, pass away, just doing something he loves to do. But it was a rough time. But that's, you know, I watched his father do that and spoke at his, I guess it'd be a celebration of his life more so than a funeral was.
Yep.
And, but, yeah, life is short, so. You know, don't wait around to do what you want to do. Do it now. You know, it's kind of thing, and that's kind of where I feel super blessed, man. Because honestly, I would do this shit for free.
Yeah,
dude, I would. But obviously, we need these tokens to play this game. You know, it is what it is. The way things set up. But I love what I do. Period. And that's why I think, And I think Rustin's loving what he's doing, and you almost feel guilty to a certain bit, like, this is what my life is. Like, this is great. You know what I mean? But we've sacrificed getting there. You know, there were some things to get there for sure, but I hope it keeps going the way it goes. And, you know, I think the more people that experience it, the better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I think, you know, a lot of it is like what you said is, there's a lot of shit that people don't see. They see, you know, like some of the people on TV now, like you guys don't see like what's, you know, in the room, what goes on.
Right.
How many, you know.
This quick break is brought to you by archeryauctionpros.com. Have y'all wanted to get a new bow setup but just didn't want to pay top dollar for it? Because I know my broke ass didn't want to. Guys, check out this website. It may be the answer to all your problems. Go to www.archeryauctionpros.com. Register for free, look at the bows, see something you like, make a bid, and guess what? You may be shooting a new setup this season. It's that easy. And oh, check this out. Before it even hits the site, it is checked out by some of the best bow technicians in the game, so you're not buying a piece of crap. Guys, I don't know. It got my vote. I'm all about it. Guys, check them out at www.archeryauctionpros.com and even on the IG at Archery Auction Pros.
Like we were talking when I had Gaethje on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about like money. You know, like when I fought in the UFC, it was $3,000 to show up, $3,000 to win.
Right. Dude.
Right. It's garbage, right? Like,
it's garbage.
I can't believe I was trying to do this. You know, I did it. And you look at a guy's fight personnel like him. You know, he's a million-dollar fighter.
Yeah.
You know, he gets bonuses. I got a bonus from Dana White. Guess how much that motherfucker was. $2,500, and I thought I was fucking, you know,
rolling.
Ghetto rich, you know
I'm
what I'm
rolling.
Saying? And he goes, what the fuck, right? Because, you know, they give out $50,000 now for fights, you know?
Yeah, that's a small bonus, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, 50. Holy grand, holy shit, you know? It's just nuts on how, like, the times have changed now when me and you fought, you know, to now, you know? I mean, look,
it's
at
evolving,
this.
Evolving, bro.
It's crazy, right? But I would ever definitely say, like, yourself was a pioneer of when I always say, like, we were talking in the gym the other day, like, you know, they were like, what was your record, Luke, blah, blah. I said, fuck, you know, this and that. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's not the greatest record. I was like, yeah, but my guys were way tougher back then.
Yeah, you didn't pull out because you had a sniffle, but
yeah, I was like, my guys are way tougher back then.
Yeah, he's got a broken arm, got in a car wreck on the way over, and that, no shit happened. I had a kid fight me that he actually got in a car wreck on his way to win.
Oh, no shit.
No shit, he still fought me, too. He's tougher and shit. He's just tough.
But that's why I said, I always say we were fucking tougher back then than
the know, and that always is, though, right? We were way tougher. But I will say this, I think, you know, there was something to be said about that, but I would say, obviously, there's, you know, the skill sets up a ways, and it's going to be harder and harder to make it into. It's going to be like the NFL before too long. You know, the percentage of actual fighters that go on to the next level is going to be smaller and smaller. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope not, because I hope they keep building organizations like Eagle and what he's doing. You know, it sounds like he's throwing some cheddar, I've heard.
Yeah, it's good. So it's good. We had our buddy Archie just fight in there and fucking, you know, put on a great – that kid.
Yeah.
That's another wrestler.
Yeah.
Wyoming wrestler. Yeah. Wrestling is the background, man. I think
it's the gatekeeper of the fight.
Yeah, man.
And people are like, why do you think wrestlers do so well? Because wrestling is the hardest thing I've ever done, dude.
Yep.
But I also think it's just because from like a young age, man, these kids are going out there one-on-one, stripping down to almost nothing.
Yep.
Mom screaming at him, dad, go kill him. You know, get him. What are you doing? You know, that type of shit. You know, and they're around that chaos. You know, it's organized chaos all day long. People trying to get them. You know what I mean? So I think it just kind of goes well, making weight and all that stuff, you know.
It's tough, man. It's a fucking discipline, but I would never change it for anything. Like, I swear, people ask me, like, hey, man, what's the one thing that if I had to get into fighting, what would you do? I said, if you didn't start wrestling when you were a little peewee, it's going to be tough on you,
bro. You
know,
and I think nowadays, you know, you should mix it in a little bit, but definitely get yourself some just flat out just fucking wrestling, man. Yep. Folk style wrestling. Folk style.
Yeah.
Folk style. It's got to be college
none
style
of this freestyle
wrestling.
Freestyle shit.
And Greco, you know. I like the Greco for the MMA, but I think the folk style is the most grueling style right now for MMA. I think it's the best of transitions, just my opinion.
Yeah, I would say, like, if I had a Golden Glove champion, whatever, boxer, and I had a fucking 500 wrestler, I'm taking the wrestler.
Right. We mix those two up, and then we train them together, and then we just steal their skill sets, put them together, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Help each other get better in their own areas. But, yeah, I'm probably going to take the wrestler just because of bias, but also I think he can get him down pretty quick.
It's a mentally part too, dude, I think. And well, I'm I think Randy Couture
proved that, didn't he?
Yep, facts. Yeah, I right mean, there.
That's his guy right there, the heavyweight world champion. What was his name that he just took down with a low ankle? I never seen Randy shoot a low ankle, I think. Single leg.
So, in that, when you were speaking of that back at Team Quest, like that room?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that room. Like
it was rough.
Did you bring a little bit of that back with you in your gym now?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did. You know, when you come in with that wrestling mentality, you wrestle hard all the time, you know what I mean? So, like, we just beat the living crap out of each other, Team Quest, to be honest with you. I feel like we sparred too hard most of the time. And there was a lot of coaches come through and try to slow it down a little bit. But once you get used to something, it's like, nah, dude, we're going.
Yeah.
It's go time, you know what I mean? And we got tough, don't get me wrong. But I think learn how to drill.
Yeah,
learn how to flow spar a little bit is kind of been the big difference. And I think that's kind of what, you know, I think I've brought back with me, like learning from like, well, dude, yeah, I'm going to fights broken ribs because my teammate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, just too rough
yep.
too often. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like Team Quest, I think, for a while. And you had a lot of really, really good, tough dudes in there, you know, and wrestlers are those type that like to
Go hard.
You know what it is, dude. Yeah. They're hitting like, and we probably don't need to hit each other that hard in practice, but shit happens. And every once in a while you need that, you know, to get that out. But like overall, man, I think the training has changed a little bit and I've kind of learned from mistakes in my career as you have, you know. So you go, listen, guys, we can get the same results with less damage. You know what
facts.
I mean? So it's just a fact. You know what I'm saying?
The sports has developed as.
And it's kind of like the difference between, like, when I was in college, you know, or high school wrestling, drilling. It's almost like you're fighting.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go to college, just way smoother. Just learn how to drill, learn how to do that. And I think that's why the game is evolving, because you got fighters learning that about themselves, and then now we're coaching it. And just, it's going up the hill, you know, so.
You've walked that plank.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was there, you know, we've done it, and now I'm passing that shit on, and I think it's awesome, man.
Yeah, speaking of that, hey, Cody, what do you got from Deion?
Debo. Shit, this guy.
He wants to see if Killian and Isla, is that right?
Yeah.
If they're going to be competing in MMA at some point.
These are kids?
Yeah, so Isla's my daughter. She wrestles and Killian wrestles, and they both train the MMA, and, you know, they've been doing it their whole lives. They've grown up in my gym. Right now, you know, Killian's going to kind of focus on wrestling, but he says he'll do MMA. I mean, he spars with my fight team. He's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And Isla definitely says she's fighting right now. Oh, yeah, 100% world champ. She watches the fights. She cries during the fights. She was pretty happy when the Lioness got beat. She wanted it to happen. I don't know what – she gets intense, you know, and what's the champion's name, the – 125-pound champ. What's
Valentina.
Yeah, that's her favorite fighter.
Oh, for real?
She loves her.
Nice.
So she gets intense, man. She's like crying when that girl fights. Like, she gets into it. She loves it. So she's kind of like her dad. She's pretty intense.
Did she try to do the math to see if she would be able
She starts adding up the years. Will they be fighting when I'm there?
Oh, shit. She wants to take Isla's, it down, yeah.
Well, Isla's pretty aggressive, yeah. She likes the stuff. But we'll see. You know, there's a lot, you know as well as anybody, there's a lot of life in between there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen, he's 17, he's going to be world champion. They're 20 now, they don't fight anymore.
Yeah.
They got a girlfriend, moved on, you know, you just never know.
Yeah.
Though I have one rule with them. And if they want to fight, that's great. I'll help them get there, do this thing and that. But my one rule is that I will be in their corner. I have to be in their corner. That's it. Other than that, if they choose to fight, great. If they don't, great. It is what it is. But I do. They do train it. You know what I mean? I don't force it or anything.
Yeah.
They do train it.
Yeah, they're around it.
And I like them to do a lot of other shit. You know, soccer. Yeah. I really like soccer. She's really good at it, and she really likes it. So I push that as well.
Mm-hmm. So. And they in the gym every day with you watching it?
Yeah, man. I mean, they could. They're not there every day right now. Like right now, because honestly, Killian hasn't been – well, he comes in on the weekends to spar with me and comes in and wrestles a couple days a week. We were doing that for a while. And Isla comes into her classes, but lately she's been tied up with wrestling. So now she's wrestling. And then when that ends, she'll be back in doing her classes again and stuff like that.
You know, I get the same question, like, what do I want my – because, you know, both my kids, like –
yeah.
If I'm at the gym, my kids are with me, right? I don't have a nanny. My wife works.
Yeah.
So they're with me, right? Which I wouldn't change anything. I love having my kids with me. Obviously, my daughter grew up in the gym, but now she's at school. But now I got Marcus, right? Yep. He's in the gym. He's giving everybody knuckles, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, people are like, man, I bet you can't wait to have your kid do this. I said, will they train? Hell yeah. They're going to learn how to do like jiu-jitsu. I think it was huge for my daughter. you know, learn that shit. Me personally, man, I'm going to buy them some golf clubs.
Yeah.
I want them to do some.
Yeah. I was going to comment on that one. Yeah. I know that Debo's, you know, he's coming to on that one. It'd be easier on me if they don't fight.
Yeah.
It'd be easier. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But if they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm
want
okay.
them. To,
right.
I want
right.
them to know.
Right. Right. Just I'm like behind you. Find yeah. something you love to do and yeah. let's go do it. And let's figure out where we make some money at. And that way you never go to work. You never talk about retiring.
Yeah, exactly. Do something you love. Right. Every That's day. Right.
Motherfucker. What?
Yeah. But either way, here's my deal. Like, you know, like, let's say Dion, for instance, baseball player, kids, yeah. big, which, dude, I looked at his fucking Facebook. I haven't seen Dion's kids forever, and I looked at them. Dude, they're big.
They got some good-looking kids.
Yeah, they're grown. They like, right. I remember
that ugly
when
mother,
they were still little.
That ugly mother, how do you produce them good-looking
know,
kids, right?
I know, dude.
Good thing I love you, Debo. Like I'm just messing with you. I don't know if he's listening or not.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, man, like, I honestly, I think we're doomed because the kids see us, what we do. Yeah. They're around us. They're going to do it, right?
And yeah, you know, you yeah, I mean, I think they might.
I mean, I'm glad. I told my wife, I said, there's one thing I know for sure my son's going to do. I'm going to try to push him into wrestling. I don't care what he does with it, scholarship, yeah. whatever. I just want that mental part because life fucking is tough.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not going to live through him. You know what I mean? I've yep. done my career. I've done the wrestling. Mm-hmm. I've done the fighting. So I don't feel like, you know, I'm going to be – don't want it's but it is hard to coach your own kids, oh. man. I've been coaching them, you know, with the wrestling and stuff like that all through high school and stuff like that, even. And it's, man, that's a hard balance there. So I can imagine maybe being in the fight, you know. I don't know how yeah. I'm gonna react to it, but if they do it, you know, like I said,
you gotta have their back.
Well, you know, I did it, so
I know, yeah, you know right?
I mean?
I know.
You kind of got that. Well, you do it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
fuck.
So. You guys go back home much?
No.
No.
I don't. You know, we're going back next week for the fights. I think it's next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Next week for the fights. We got one fighter on that card, which that kind of pissed me off, Russ. I don't know if you're listening, Russ Jones. We got one fight on your whole card. One fight. Factory X has how many on your card?
Oh, shit.
I'm not trying to talk some shit. I love Factory X. They got great fighters, and I like to match up against their guys more and more. Always. We used to do it all the time on the daily. Yeah, but we're going back there, so we don't make it back. I don't make it back that often.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I don't make it back as much as I should just to see the family, you know?
Going back for the fights, though, is so, like, people from Colorado that go there, they're just an amazing.
They love it.
Oh, it's
well,
crazy.
North Platte's a fight town, always has me.
Dude, it's dude, nuts.
They love it.
Shows up.
They love it.
They're like, holy shit, this is what, I was like, dude, I grew up.
Russ throws a good show, dude. He does, and I'm going to give him credit on it. I'm just bullshitting him about that whole fucking no fighters on his card thing, but come on, Russ.
Well, and the other thing is, like, he fucking puts a fucking lineup together, like, 16 fights.
He's
got 16
fights.
You know what I mean? Like, goddamn, Russ.
You're trying to get out of there at some point, dude.
But I will say this. For me fighting there in – did you ever fight in North Platte?
No, I never did.
You never fought one of the shows? Nuh-uh. Yeah, so I fought there.
You fought Jordan Eagley.
You did?
No, you did. Wasn't it Jordan Eagley there?
Oh, man.
Because it was
– tall dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. In the boxing ring.
Yep.
Yep, I remember that dude now, yeah. Yeah, I remember. Wait, how'd you know him?
He was Brandy's. Cousin, it was my wife's cousin.
Oh, fuck, really? Yeah. So, who are you rooting for?
Well, me or him? Just like,
come on, tell me who you root for, mama.
I was just like, I was just like, Jordan, I don't know about this one, buddy.
Yeah, I think I ended up stopping him, though. I think I stopped him. I remember that now. Yeah, he was a tall motherfucker, though, man. Yeah. Holy shit.
Jordan, the Nebraska Nightmare, I think is what he went
was for. He? Yeah. It was cool, man. North Platte is this, it is a fighting town. I mean, that's all there is to do, man. It is crazy. And to me, I love going back and seeing the fights now of what they do and like bringing fighters there of where I grew up and where it started where it started for me. You know, to me, it was something special when I fought there. You know, a lot of pressure too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're fighting in front of your home crowd.
Yeah,
of
you know,
there is,
a lot of pressure, dude. Yeah. And I remember.
It's either one of those make or breaks. It's either good for you. You either handle that well or you don't handle that well. You got to kind of learn yourself as a competitor on that one, I suppose.
Yeah, it was crazy. But, like, honestly, man, I wouldn't change anything. I love fighting there. Man, I always say, like, the coolest thing would have probably been is being a main event and me and you fighting.
Yeah.
And could you imagine?
Oh, wait,
like
North
the tension of Cy Schultz, Psychedelic, like
who's going to win? You know what I mean? Like, that would have been fucking crazy, right?
It could still happen.
Oh,
we
fuck.
We can make this happen. This could be like a senior league, like a golden age type deal.
Here's the thing. Ryan's going to have to put on some weight because I ain't cutting no more fucking weight.
That's all right. I'm in shape. I don't give a fuck about weight classes.
Now look at this guy. He's already ready to roll. I can't pass the physical. My eyes are fucked.
Hey, I can't see no more, man.
I got to think of something. No, I honestly say, man, that would have been fucking crazy fighting there. And I know people would fucking have done it and loved it. And, like, I would have done it for a paycheck for sure back when I was fighting. I don't know. Like, fuck, yeah. Let's find out. I don't know, man. I just, like I said, I just wouldn't want to get taken to the ground and be held down by you because, man, I remember watching you fight this couple guys. I think you were in the IFL fighting that. You fucking would take guys behind the arm and just fucking
Schultzy handshake.
Yeah. And beat them down. And I was like, dude, that's what I'm talking about.
I like that position. It's a good position.
How did you get the nickname Ryan the Lion?
You know, I don't really know, man. I had a lion tattoo on my back, I think, before, and then just I think it just rhymes, you know.
Yeah.
I was pretty aggressive, you know that. So I think I just mauled people and went after them. They just started calling me Ryan the Lion, you know what I mean? I think it kind of rhymed too, so it looked good. And I had a tattoo on my back of a lion.
Yeah. Fight was like a lion, dog.
Yeah, I think kind of that's the way it is. And I'm about loyalty, man. Yeah. That's how I feel about the lion. I like the lion. I feel like the lion's a little bit, you know, I feel connected to it. So just kind of a protector type shit. And, you know, I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone, but we need to get it, we'll get it.
Yep.
You know what I mean, type of deal.
Kind of looks like a lion, too.
Long hair. Got a beard.
Yeah.
Before we turn everything else, what's the big thing that's going on in trials right now? You got any big events coming up? Fighters fighting. What's happening with Bold? Tell me.
Yeah, we got some fighters coming up. We got a fighter, Ali's fighting next week in North Platte, and then we got some fights out here in Colorado, on Colorado Combat Club. We got Jake Mendez going and Jacques Rochaud going, and then. We got a couple fighters signed with the LFA, multiple fight deals with a couple of our fighters, one of our females, and then Kelsey and Coleman Scribner. So that looks good. Those are coming up in April. Their first fights will be April 22nd. So as far as the actual fight part of our gym, that's things are moving.
Yeah.
And then SCL's coming back to the Budweiser, which will be good.
Yep. Back. That's nice for you guys who don't have to travel.
Yeah, man. We used to be real connected with that show. We used to, you know, really get it. And I like to get back to some of that now that they're back in Colorado. You know what I mean? Instead of just in the Wyoming. Even though I liked going up to Cheyenne, Wyoming as well, but I just want to get everybody wants to fight the Budweiser. Yep. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And it's a venue's a venue to me. Yep. Let's go. I've been to a lot of them. You know what I mean? But I understand that people want to fight there, and it's the military one. So we got like. We got about, I don't know, 5-6 matchups on there we're still looking at, and going to maybe lock those down here shortly. And so things are busy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things are starting to pick up as far as that goes. And on the other end, like the Rocksteady program, you know, that's growing, and that's like bittersweet, you know what I mean? Because the more students you get in there, that means the more people are struggling with Parkinson's. And that's the one thing about the Parkinson's deal, the Rocksteady boxing, is it's kind of you have to have Parkinson's. And fitness is good for everybody. So like that was one of the things with the B-Bold too, like bringing that into the gym and just because it's fucking awesome anyway. Yeah. But like it's another way that I don't have to turn somebody away because you don't have Parkinson's disease. You know what I'm saying? Like MS is a lot like it. There's a lot of things. My dad had a stroke. What? I can't let him in the program because he doesn't actually have Parkinson's. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's like. That's one part of that I'm just like, well, so now we got this other avenues, and, you know, we've had it for a while and to push to, because I don't want to ever turn anybody away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas maybe they don't feel comfortable going to a regular class because they have some sort of a disability that they feel like they can't keep up to speed, you know what I'm saying? So we have options, you know what I mean? And that's the one thing I didn't like about the Parkinson's only type of deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Parkinson's plus, they can have other things, but they have to have Parkinson's, which I get it. That's what they were going after, and that's what the... You know, the research and stuff like that was doing, you know, to prove that exercise helps.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think forced exercise is what they're getting at with the heavy punching and like hitting hard and forced, you know, intensity of it. So
fucking outlet, man. Right. It's the outlet.
So you guys run classes every twice a week. What for the? How does that work?
Oh, we run them. So we have those classes going for the Be Bold and Rocksteady are Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay. Yep. So if they can't make one, they can make it in later in the week. Yeah, that's fucking sweet, man.
Yeah.
And you guys are both running the classes then?
Yeah, we run them. We have Caroline runs them in Glen Beach. She's the one that started with me. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I have tons of people, tons of my fighters who come in and help. Tons of students come in and they want to help hold pads for everybody. Dude, it's a community.
That's
dude.
Cool.
Dude, it's.
I see this.
Yeah.
You know, how they can.
Well, dude, it motivates them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It changed their lives, you know. And like, if you, it's pretty amazing what they do in there. And like I told you, man, I don't, you know, they're on the TRX doing push-ups, one-legged squats, and they're on the Busa balls. I mean, they're doing things. They're punching pads. They're kick, punch knees, elbows, body shots. I run them just like a fighter on a pad.
Stand-ups.
And they love that.
I got a couple of them students. I'm telling Deb. I don't know. I know Deb's not listening, but if she was, it'd be great. I'll send Deb. She's my collector.
Yeah.
She's one of my ladies in my rock stable. She can kick. She beats the shit out of some pads, boy.
And watch them, you know, do these combos.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it's.
When they crush it, their eyes light up like, oh, yeah, you felt that. You need, the eyes don't lie.
Yep.
I see it. You're addicted now, and I hit them pads. So
I think another kind of cool thing that we have at Trials is that Be Bold has a grant through the VA for veterans, and it's the only program of its type in our area that gives veterans free access to our classes.
No way.
Yep. And to see the veterans that come in and – they get to meet other veterans, socialize, get back to being a part of life again.
Yeah. Like back to a camaraderie, that brotherhood stuff. Yeah, it's fucking huge for them.
It was cool.
And then we're looking at implementing veterans grappling as well, just so they can come in and you know, just find that platoon again, in a sense.
Yeah, be a part of something again,
And then... It's just really cool to see the guys come in, meet each other, form those relationships, go get coffee after class or something.
Yeah.
Where, you know, when they came in, it was just a struggle for them to come in, you know, and now they're making plans with other people.
That's fucking crazy. That's good, man. Yep. What you were saying about how, you know, you could only come in if you have Parkinson's and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of deal with, like, we work with a veterans group called Hero Sports. And they work with all veterans, right? Well, right. You get some of these organizations like, oh, you can only come on this hunt because you got blown up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not very fucking, I mean, I get it. Like, you gotta have your arm blown up or shit. Like, that's one thing I will say about Hero Sports. They all veterans.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just because you didn't lose something doesn't mean you can't come on this hunt, you know? Mentally, it's just, you know. That's one thing I love about them, and what you're saying is what you're doing with your classes. Just because you don't have Parkinson doesn't mean you can't.
Yeah, come in this class. We just got to be open to everything, you know. And like I said, some of them push the regular classes. You know, if they want to give that a try, give it a try. You know what I'm saying? But like, it's good to have that camaraderie too. Like everybody in there knows the other person has Parkinson's too. So I get that whole thing of it. You know what I mean? But in the end, I have had it in the past. You know, when we didn't have this other outlet, that's like, ugh. You know, because I am an affiliate of their program.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you don't actually have Parkinson's, like, you know, but now I don't have to worry about that shit.
You have because the option.
I don't know. Russell was saying there at one point, he felt like we had the most amputees in our gym probably in the country.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, there was a I mean, time.
It
was
just crazy. So much shit going on. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
crazy.
Could never have planned it. You know, that's why I say, I say it all the time at the gym. You can't plan this shit. You can't ride it. You just can't ride it, man.
And, you know, just to even, like, I have other friends that are amputees and then to talk them into coming into this gym, you know, at first they kind of look at me like I'm crazy, but it's just like, no, you can do this. Like,
yeah.
There's a guy, Brian. And Brian was like one of my first amputees I ever worked with at all. He would come into my house and we would box and, you know, I don't even think that he believed he could do this, you know? And then we started doing it and it was just like, oh my God. And he still comes into
He's in all fitness classes. All the,
no way.
Regular classes. Yep. No coming here, hitting pads, good banging it out, getting on boosters, throwing the Bulgarian bags around, all the shit, man.
He's
everybody.
Like one of the first amputees I'd ever met. He actually lives in my neighborhood. It was kind of weird. And he's from Omaha, Nebraska originally.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So it's kind of a small world.
Meeting each other, and I'm kind of like picking his brain a little bit. And then I just asked him if he'd ever want to box, and he was just like, well, I'll try it. And we were doing it in the garage, and like, that's really where it kind of started. And I was just like, just to see other people like benefit from something like that. And then just, and a lot of it too, is just, they get this smile on their face. And then you can also see that they're venting out some frustration that they have, and they're doing it in a positive way. Cause there's lots of other ways you can go vent out frustration, you know, they don't end up in the best of ways. And just to be able to go to a gym and know that regardless of whatever your situation that you fit in to, you know, like, yesterday we did our class, and, you know, we had wheelchair amputees, Parkinson's, you name it, you know, they've been in that gym.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy. That's so cool, man, because you don't hear about it. You know, you don't hear about it. And that's one thing I wanted to get out and stress. Like, you guys have opened the door to so many cool things, dude. Yeah. I mean, not only that you guys are, you know, you guys run a fucking phenomenal fight gym, let alone, like we were talking, that's such a small part of the gym, right?
You know, but then you get them fighters that these people get to watch on TV, you know, stuff like that. And then they're coming to their classes, helping out whole
right next to them and hanging out with them.
Yeah, man. Like, so much good shit has happened through there. You know what I mean? Like, they just get to see stuff, you know, like fighters. Well, like Josh Copeland was coming up training with me for a long time, and he's fighting on the PFL, He's on TV, the $1 million deal. They all watch all that shit because they come and help pads for him, stuff like that. You know what I mean? So just giving back. You know what I'm saying? Yep. That's all good stuff, man. And, I don't know. I just think it's just watching people. I don't know. One thing I say at the gym, let's just try to give more than we take. And I promise you, if you do that, you're going to receive a lot more. Yep. You just will. And it may not be the things you think you need to be receiving.
Yeah.
People need to remember that too. Sometimes you don't know what you need.
Yo, it's facts. I think that's facts, man. Yeah. You know what's crazy is, man, you know, I wanted you guys on the podcast, wanted this and that. I didn't realize how much fucking energy you fucking give out, Ryan.
I'm high amped, dude. That's what people say. I'm high amped all the time.
I fucking feel it, bro.
He's ready to start his career over. I got fucking Luca Dillon over here ready. He's ready. Where we training, motherfucker? Let's go.
I'm ready to start back up.
I'm in, dude. I'm always in.
I'm literally pumped. I'm glad you guys came down.
And that's the thing about Charles, man. Yeah. That's what's in there, that type of energy. Yeah. It just makes people want to better themselves. I'm serious about it, dude. And it's not me, man. And it's the Lord, dude.
Yeah.
I swear to you, man. I swear what we're doing is changing lives. And I'll tell you, like, you put people UFC or you go to Bellator to win these big fights, and you see somebody just gut something out and you have these moments. But some of the biggest moments in my gym have been, like, when a mom comes to me and she's crying and she says something to me like this: my kid had his first sleepover this weekend. He has friends. You know, because he's getting confidence to this place to go there. See, these are the fucking things that I like.
Yep.
You know, I've had guys come at me because I've done a high level on the shit and coach-wise, and I'll put myself against anybody. And I'll tell you this right now, as far as coaching goes, good luck finding a coach that'll put more energy into somebody than I will. Good luck, motherfucker. That's how I feel about it. Now, does that mean I'm better? Nope, I'm not saying that. But I do what I do, and you do what you do, that's fine. But I've had people say to me, I don't get you. You waste your time. You waste your time because you'll give the same amount of energy to a four-year-old as you will a world champion. I go, you're goddamn right I will. Every fucking time. I don't want what you want. I know what I want. I'm doing what I do. And that's another thing. I've stayed out of the drama of the gyms. You know, I'm up in Northern Colorado doing my thing.
Yep.
You know, is there good? I want other gyms to succeed. I don't want to talk shit on the other gym. You want to know why? Because I love martial arts. I love this shit. Yep. This shit is good for the soul. And I can't house everybody.
Yep.
But if you like the shit, come check me out and check us out at Trials, because I got like the best crew ever, man. And it's not a one-man show, dude.
Yep. I know
this
that.
Place has built itself on its own. You know, and the herd takes care of itself now. If you're an asshole, the herd will weed you out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to come throw you out now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's the herd. It takes care of it, and it's fucking awesome.
One of the coolest things is that we did a baptism at the gym, and we had 7 people get baptized.
No shit. That
Sunday. You
know, that is crazy. Good for you guys, man. Changing lives, dude.
Hey, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Changing lives.
Something even where we've talked about possibly just making it an annual event. Yeah, it's. I think the gym is a church
for a
lot of people. I think even this last 2 years, we really realized that we need our community more than ever. You know, and to find like-minded people.
Yep.
And, you know, and just do as much cool shit with those people as mm-hmm. possible. Because, again, we're not on this planet a very long time.
Nope.
There's not a lot of time to be bitching and fighting and arguing about stuff that we can't even control.
Yeah.
So, you know, just finding your group of people and just and doing as much cool shit with them as possible.
Well, especially like what's going on in the world today, like, fuck, man, people need these outlets, man.
Yep.
Like, they need to quick shut the TV off, quit watching the news, and get in.
Turn the TV off out. There,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, get in the gym, do something.
Ask the Amish, how come we don't have a problem with COVID? Because we don't have TV. Yeah. Type of shit.
Yeah,
man.
Like, I'm telling you, dude, that mainstream media, dog.
Yeah.
But right on, man. So where can they check you out? On the IG, Trials,
yeah,
people,
man.
I
yeah,
know
yeah.
you guys.
Yeah, you can get on the website, Instagram, you know, trialsmma.com, you know, and then we have all that stuff going on there.
What is that, Russell? What is your handles?
It's Be Bold Adaptive Living on Instagram, and then just Be-Bold on Facebook.
Okay.
And then on LinkedIn as well. I guess we do have our LinkedIn
account. Oh, shit, you guys are up in that shit. Hey, you got a LinkedIn.
Don't ask me anything about the technology shit, right? Just check out the... I go to the website. They're like, hey, your website's so awesome. Now I'm like, I've seen it.
Well, that's why I said, like, when I started tagging you guys, I was like, well, I got to tag Trials because that's all he has. He has no social media, which I like that. You know what I mean? Like, you stay
there's a Facebook page out there, and I apologize to anybody's that I don't get on there, guys. It was set up a long time ago, and I don't get on there. So if anybody's listening and they feel bad, I feel bad. I don't respond to shit. Let's just close it. I just, you know me, dude. I'm simpleton over here, man. Yeah. This is what it is.
Well, right on, man. I
appreciate you, brother.
It was good for real, man. Like, honestly,
it was good to see you doing good things.
Yeah, I must say, like, fuck, you guys came all the way down here from Fort Collins on your day off, away from the fams. I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you guys at fights again.
Yeah, man.
See you soon.
Yeah.
Probably Sparta. I don't think I'm going to North Platte this week. I think we have one or two fighters down there, but I'm not making a trip
this week.
Yeah, I'm staying with Gaethje.
Yeah.
We got a big fight
there.
Yeah,
you think know? So? Hey, yeah. I'll tell you what. I love that dude, man. Yeah. That dude's cute. I see him at the fucking wrestling tournaments. You know, I'm like, there he is.
Yep.
This big old-time guy still come around little wrestling tournaments.
Yep.
Much respect, Gaethje. Stay that way.
Yeah, that's one thing I will say. He just changed
a bit. Damn right. He's one of the good ones. Yep. The one you want to see at the top.
That's
you know
a
what
fact.
I mean? Carry yourself like a champion.
Yep. So, right on, man. Well, I appreciate you guys coming down. Man, let me know if there's anything I can do for you guys. Man, so you guys get a week free? People get a week free at Trials?
Yeah, man. Come in, you know, and if they need a little more time, I'll always talk to them. I'm negotiable with things, you know. I don't want to just start making you sign up. And I have tons of different memberships, so you got to kind of want to see what you want to get into, you know what I mean?
Yep, give them the option.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. Well, right on, like man. On that note, appreciate you guys. I will tell you guys this. I'm fucking proud of you guys, dude.
Appreciate you, bro.
I know you probably get here a lot, but like to see you guys together still and doing what you guys do, you guys are good shit, man.
He's stuck with me, dude. I'm like a wart.
Well, right on, man. You guys have a good one. Later.
Thank you. Hey, guys. I wanted to hop on here and give you guys a big shout out and say thank you for all your support. Do me a favor. Check out that Bullhorn app. Give us a subscribe on that app. Man, you guys can watch us live right from your phone. Call in. Ask Cody questions all from the app. So check it out. And make sure you guys give us a follow on the IG at GU_unfiltered_and @GladiatorsUnleashed. And if you're a patron, love you.